Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening, Black Girl America. Here we are again this week, Tuesday evening. Yes, I just want to take care of a couple of things before we get into the discussion. Number one, my name is Kevin Jones. I'm host of Black Girl America that come on Tuesday evenings from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, on Saturday evening, we have Provocative Thought with Carl Sneed. He comes on also from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And finally, we have a new program, the Marketing Partnership Program, that assists self-employed people as well as small business owners and entrepreneurs to expose their products and services on a national and international basis. We have a group out of Philadelphia that will help us, as well as myself, will assist you in exposing your product and services. If you're interested in the Marketing Partnership Program, you could call me at 404-573-6144. That's 404-573-6144. And tonight, we have Miss Aisha Hattrick. And,
greetings.
How are you this evening? How have your month been?
It's been very productive, busy but productive.
Well, you know, nothing come easy.
If it's not easy, you're not doing it right.
True, that's true. And tonight, our topic discussion is going to be African Americans. We really need to rely on the system that we're in. Why must we always continue to rely as a group, as a culture, even though there's many facets to this culture, but why we continue to rely on the leadership and the, in quotations, democracy of the system to assist us in our with our issues, whatever the issues may be. You up, Ms. Hattrick?
Like I said, greetings, everyone. The last time I was on the show, we talked about the importance of investing in our own community, and my brother actually asked me that if I knew how many Black-owned banks do we have. I'm looking at a website right now, family.
Mm-hmm.
They are all over the country. Oh, when I say all over, in every single state there is. I'm not sure if I can say the website since they're not contributing to make sure your show, you know, flourishes. But please Google it. Please Google it. And look at the Black banks, because the solvency of those banks rely on us making sure they grow. Our communities rely on making sure that it grows. We have to put our money where it's appreciated. That's the main thing. They know that we will spend our money on the stupidest things, and that's part of our downfall. That's part of our downfall. We have to build our own and stop thinking that if they understand that we understand that we don't need them, then you know it's going to be what it's going to be. So that's one of the main things I wanted to talk last night or yesterday when I spoke to you and we were talking about, you know, the topics and the things that we were going to talk about. I was like, well, it's so much on my mind, but over the past couple of weeks, things are getting more and more blatant and more serious about us having to stand on our own and rely on each other and fix our own problems. Because yes, it is beautiful when we come together when something happens and we march, but it dies down and it goes away. and the problems don't stop. So what do we need to do?
That's why I keep on beating that drum. That's how come every week I keep on beating that drum, and I invite brothers and sisters from all the country to come on this show and discuss the issue, whatever their main focus is, because we have so many issues we have to address, whether it's economics, entrepreneurship, education, health, relationships, family, neighborhoods, gentrification. I didn't know gentrification was a very serious issue that we as a culture don't know anything about.
Yeah. And it happens in our own communities.
Right.
They allow our neighborhoods to be torn up, be torn down, not getting the things that the suburbs or even some parts of it, some people would consider the suburbs. It's not really the suburbs, if that at all is a real place. But what happens is, once they realize, we can make more money here, they fix it up, move us out, clump us all together, and we allow it.
Mm-hmm.
We allow it. We have to stop allowing other people to control how we live. You know, I touched on it before. One of the things that will always, always stay in my heart and in my mind is how growing up, I grew up in the nation. And we always had our own stores. We always had our own everything. We had our own dry cleaners. We had our own doctors. We had our own everything. And nobody really messed with us too much. They tried.
No, they
didn't. It didn't work.
They did.
Yeah.
They didn't mess with the nation at all.
No. Especially back then, they did not. They knew, like, listen, we don't even want those problems. And they went, what they tried to do is kill off all our leaders, you know. And it said, I'm going to touch on that, too. You know, I say kill off all our leaders. I love you, Malcolm X. I love him. I love everybody that, every single person, whether they're big, whether they're small, whether they're known, unknown, it could be your next door neighbor. If they're doing something to better their community, I'm going to love them. But we have to take that role for ourselves. We cannot wait for anybody to fix this because it's getting out of control now. But the difference is we are not our grandparents. We are not them. We have their blood, but our fight and who us knowing who we are, we're a lot different. We're not going to accept it. I know I can't. I can't. I work too hard. I've done my job as a woman to raise my daughters to know that they did not start as slaves, and nobody's going to treat them that way. So we all have to, we really do have to work together. There's so many different problems that we need to fix, but nobody's going to fix it for us. They're going to make it worse. That's what they're going to do. They're going to make things worse. Or they're going to throw
some pennies at the community, let these different community organizations, community block organizations fight over those little pennies to address our issues, and it's not even a dime in the bucket.
Nothing. It's nothing. So, you know, we stay, and I'm guilty of it myself. You know, we're going to a beauty supply store. Look in our neighborhoods. Who's in our beauty supply stores in our neighborhoods? Not us. We should be.
Yeah.
We should be. You know, we have to start thinking differently. And it's not about playing in the system. We were born here. We built this. We have a right to have all of the things that are out there. Why can't we own our own beauty supply stores? Why can't we own our own laundry mats? You can do it. Anybody can do it. It has to be done. It has to be. And, you know, I don't go too deep into, you know, the personal thing, but if you lose, I mean, everybody fails. You fail, you get up, and you do better than what you – it's all a part of a learning lesson from the universe. if you survive it, that's a lesson. That's a master class. You survived it. So what you need to do is capitalize on your own downfall. That's the only way to put it. When you fall, get up and do what needs to be done to make your situation better. I strongly believe we can. We're so, so strong. When we come together, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We are some amazing people. We created so much. Nothing's there. It's in our blood. We have no choice. Huh?
History shows you that.
Exactly. Exactly. We have no choice but to be amazing. We are, but we have to truly believe that. We have to understand that we keep doing this. I love to see us come together when something bad happens, but I'm like, these people do not care. We can march all day long, feet hurting and everything. It's not going to – we've been – okay, now – Our past leaders, yeah, they taught us that we could have a voice, we could march. Now what? Now what are we going to do? We are making more money.
What's the next chapter? What's the next step? You know,
yeah.
That's all we do is march and pound out chest and everything, but we do not develop a plan. What is the plan? If I die off, where are you going to pick up? Where are we at in the plan? You know,
we're going to go from
chapter 2 to chapter 3 to chapter 4.
One of the things that I do love, one thing I can say for my sisters, we are stepping up. We are stepping up. Now, there's some out there, they need prayer, put your hands on them. They still don't know who they are. But we are holding it down. We are doing what we need to do. We're getting our thought process and our learning process together. We're not letting anybody tell us anymore that my sister is my enemy and we can't get along and read this, that, and no, we're getting our degrees. We're going out. We're opening businesses. We're working together and supporting each other. So don't let anybody tell you that black women, they don't get along. I'm not trying to hear all that. I don't believe that. I don't wait for anybody's approval to be great. You don't have to wait for anybody's permission to be amazing because you already are. Brothers that love us and cherish us and appreciate us, they're there for our support just like we're there for their support. We have to We can talk about it, but we have to really start doing it. We really have to start supporting each other and stop support. If we stop spending our money with these people, now there's some cases where we have no I hate to use the word we have no choice, but there's some certain businesses that we may have to use the electric company. We may have to do these things.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we have our own resources, and we don't really do our research to find out where we should put our dollars and our cents.
Some people will argue 2 points. One, that we don't have the trust in each other or the confidence each other to really keep the money in the neighborhood and do business with each other. And two, we don't try hard enough. I'm looking at the numbers right here. 51% of white folks say we don't try hard enough. And 18%.
You care about that?
Huh? So what I'm saying is, or what I'm trying to say is that why don't we? We want a quick fix, and we're not in for the journey, the long haul. Sometimes it's not going to be overnight. Look, where our marches, we march for a week, and the whole thing and the whole issue would die down. We could come together for 1 or 2 meetings. That's it, you know. How can we stay the course? So we don't get that reputation of a people that don't try hard enough or not in it for us, or we trying to be like others, or we waiting for a hand to hand out. How can we get
It's not even
that?
Us getting the majority of the handouts. So that's right there tells me that that's a bunch of crap. But part of the problem is we don't hold each other accountable. And I'm
like
not talking about attacking the teachers, parents, got their little kids running around here not teaching them respect, not teaching them who they are. All of that goes into it. We have to hold each other accountable, and I'm not talking about it in an attack way, because another
right.
problem that we have, we can't disagree with each other without disrespecting each other. We have to do better at that. We have to do better. We can have adult conversations and help to enlighten somebody without diminishing their thought process. We can't do that. You know, I know people who are Christian, Muslim, people that do not practice any religion at all, but understand that there's a wonderful supreme being out there.
Right.
But everybody, they're different. But if you look at it, everybody's just trying to be the best person that they can be and trying to get answers for themselves. And we're all on the same journey. And if we remind each other of that instead of attacking each other, that's part. We have to figure out how to solve the problems, fix the problems. And it all starts not on a large scale, one person may not be able to do that. But if everybody takes a small part of their community, I don't care if it's mentoring young children and having a camp and just you probably teaching or showing kids love that may not be getting it at home. You're probably
right.
showing them a side of themselves that they've never seen because their mother and father never knew, or if they have a mother or a father in the house, it might be just one or the other. You remember how it was growing up? You had a whole neighborhood of parents. It wasn't just your mom. You did something wrong, you're going to get tore up by the neighbor.
Yeah.
The neighbor's going to tell your mom as soon as she get home. Then you have to deal with that. Then dad's going to get home, deal with that. You have to deal with that. It's just law. Now you check somebody's child, you're going to wind up fighting them, and their child cussed you out. We have to do better. We have
and go to jail.
Hello. Mm. We have to do better with that. I think that's the first thing is self-respect and accountability. Those don't be afraid to check somebody because they're being out of pocket. It's okay. It's okay. Now, if some people just don't want to do better, that's not who they're part of the problem. We know that. Then go on and move on. That's fine. But for me, myself, I know I want to be great. You can't tell me that I'm not great. I don't think I'm better than anybody, but I know I'm better than I was yesterday.
Right.
That's the goal. We have to be better than we were yesterday. Every day we have to strive to get better, learn something. Be okay with being you. You want more. Want to make your community better. They're going to – until we stop.
But first, we got to stay in the community. You know, as soon as we get a new job or get extra income, the first thing that we want to do is what they say, young folks say now, move out the hood. You know, instead of just making the hood better for us, because ain't nobody going to treat you better than your own. Now, for callers that want to say a comment or ask a question, just press 1. And I'll cue you in. Go ahead, Ms. Hatcher. What do you think about
now,
that?
Now, the thing about that is if you grew up in a neighborhood where you see Raheem and Malik and Sean and Cynthia and Karen and Aisha, everybody die, getting high, you're going to want to move to the county. You're going to want to move to the county. That's not saying you're giving up on it. That's saying you want better. It's all about choice. That's the thing. We have choices. And it's not about turning your back on anybody or anything. It's about you wanting the best for your community, the best for your family. You have to decide that for yourself. And without judgment, it's a lot of people. If people want to move out of the hood, there's no problem. For me, it doesn't scare me, but my children don't know anything about that. They grew up outside of the hood. I grew up in the heart of it. So did I want my children to grow up around that? No. But do we visit? Absolutely. I got work to do. I have things to do. It's very important for my family to do their part to make it better. And everybody has their own way of doing that. You know, some people want to invest financially. Some people want to spend time. Some people want to mentor. Some people, I don't know, they start a book club, give books or whatever. Whatever you can do to make the community better, just do your part. It's not that difficult. The hard part is when we allow other people to define who we are. We start to believe that. We really do. We're not. We have to stop conforming. We have to stop conforming to European ways. That's not who we are. That's not who the grand master made us to be. We're supposed to be an example, not a follower. So until we get that together, we're going to keep having these discussions and problems and everything, but we have to really start looking in the mirror, because things are getting really, really, our babies are suffering. Our babies are suffering. They don't know the fun that we used to have when we were young. They don't know the struggles that we had. We make it real easy for them because we are making more money than we used to. We're not relying on the system like they think. You know, they want us to believe that, you know, black families are all on welfare and relying on the state to take care of us.
It's only 28% of the welfare rolls are African American, and 48% are whites.
Yes. I was just looking at the story of the people in Lakewood, New Jersey, multimillionaires going to jail for food stamp and welfare fraud. Come on now, that's not us. We don't do that. We don't have time. You know, it's frustrating. It's that's why I'm glad that I have this outlet to at least talk and get it out and get some answers, because one of the main things, we're all learning from each other, and until we understand that collectively our thought processes can build some great things, can build some great communities. Right? Even if it means going, getting together. Remember how we used to get together and go clean up a terrible park that was disgusting and turn it into something beautiful? We're not really doing. I don't know how it is on the West Coast, South, North, Midwest, but I know on the East Coast, it's not like it used to be where we got together and cleaned up our community, we took care of our, protected
why
our community.
Do you think that the sister made it like that, or we as a people decided
we allowed it
to go that
we
route?
We allowed it. We allowed the system to do it. We did. We stopped believing in ourselves. We really did. We allow, again, going back to that conform word, we allow the system to make us conform to somebody that's not us. We're not protecting our community the way we used to. We're not respecting our community. You know, I watch little kids every day walk by. They can be on the playground or whatever. I walk by. I mean, I'm real grown. I'm a grown woman. And they're cussing at each other. Look at me in my face. Keep cussing at. Think I won't snatch one of them up? Do you see that I'm a grown woman?
Do you think that's more of the family or the conditions of the environment?
We're all family. I grew up in a neighborhood that wasn't very nice, but I knew I was taught to respect my elders. So were you, right?
That's right. You got to remember, I grew up in the second largest city in New Jersey, and I lived in the area that was basically practicing black nationalism, and they didn't even know they was practicing black nationalism. All of the owners of the businesses were African Americans. The farmers, the liquor store owner, the realtor, the butcher, the laundromat, the candy store. The only thing that wasn't black was the landlords.
How about that?
They were from another culture, which is very successful. And I think as a people, we got to start looking at other cultures. Like, for example, there's a culture in Brooklyn. Well, I guess all five boroughs, but I always seen it in Brooklyn. And they have, at this whole strip, they got their own school buses. They have their own clinics. Mm-hmm. They have their own schools, the synagogues, and all the brownstones belong to them. And if you want to sell a store in that neighborhood, they are the landlord. There's this brother from California. He feels that along the lines of you of economic or entrepreneurship or economic, that we have to start being property owners as well, and that's how we protect our neighborhoods and community. What do you say about that?
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. I live in the Baltimore area, and when I drive through Baltimore and I look at all these abandoned properties that somebody is getting ready to capitalize on.
That's right.
And make this rent really crazy. I said, no, I sat down with some friends and I said, look, enough is enough. We have to start buying these properties up before they come in here and make it their own. Baltimore, it needs a lot of love, people. It needs a lot of love. It needs a lot of support. These babies out here have no respect for living or taking a life. And Baltimore is tiny. It is so small. Everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at these politicians. I want to sit down and have a conversation with the politicians and ask,
and that's
what
you need to be held accountable to, especially when it comes to their law enforcement agency. Especially when it comes to their law enforcement agencies. And maybe when you talk about respect, and when you talk about being accountable for each other, and when you talk about we're starting to develop our neighborhoods, maybe we won't get shot down so much.
Huh, how about that?
Because I don't see nobody shooting down the Hasidic Jews. I don't see nobody shooting down them Asian Americans. Well, know why?
Mm-mm.
You can't go up in Chinatown and trying to do what you feel like. You can't even go in the Hasidic Jew area and talk about and other cultures as well.
Yeah.
Well, you can come in the black community and become a millionaire. You can desecrate our physical environment. You can come shoot our men and women, because there's an increase in black women killings by law enforcement in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, we deserve, like you said before, we deserve half that blame too, because we fail, and I'm talking about going back 35, 40 years ago, we fail to really, really manage and protect our families and patrol our communities as we were supposed to. We just let, not I mean, that's how all these other issues, the gangs and the open-air drug markets. It's just like, when you talk of a black urban area, that's the first thing that comes to your mind, the gangs and the open drug area market, stuff like that. But there's some beautiful things going on in the black urban areas.
Dance
clubs, sports teams, reading club. I mean, but they don't get the notoriety like the negative stereotype labels that we get. Again, we need to call
I know a lot of mentors.
Huh?
Yeah. I said I know a lot of mentors out here that, you know, they teach, they show love, they introduce for maybe a sport that the kids may other things other than basketball, football. You know, teach them other things, teach them about themselves. It's just, I don't even want to say that we've given up, because I don't believe that we've given up.
Well,
just,
I could tell you what happened. I could tell you what happened, Sister Aisha, in the 80s, when we had that serious crack epidemic.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All the way up to the early 90s. We had what took place in the late 60s. There was white in the late 60s and the late 80s and early 90s. It was black flight, because people tried to maintain their communities or what have you, but they were chased out by the negative element, and they never came back. And when you have flight, resources go, money go. And with us, our value system goes. Which, if you leave behind a bunch of negative folks within our culture, what do you think how they're going to raise their kids? They think they're going to keep up the community or whatnot.
And then it becomes generational at that point.
Yes.
You know, because
a couple of generations. Or it may not become generational, because white folks will come back and take back and say, well, you didn't take care of it. You had it for 40 years, and look what you've done with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, I at this point of the game, we have to take the other people out of it, not just whites.
Yeah.
The Spanish people. I look at the Spanish community. When I say they stick together,
they do.
They stick together.
Yes.
You know, half of the time you'll have black people who wear, it'll be just two or three people in the same house. I can't live with them. They make that thing work. It'd be five, six of them pooling their money, and they make it happen. They make sure that everything works. And
a lot of the stores in the black communities now.
No,
And when one come from a country, you don't have to worry about a job, or you don't have to worry about nowhere to stay. But he's going to have a little spot with those 10 other people in that house, pay his rent, and he's going to go to a store with two, three other guys living in that house and work 16 hours. But guess what? He's staying out of trouble, and he's making a dollar, and he just saved us money to get his own.
Yes, and again,
he might open up another store. He might open up another store three blocks up in the black community.
Yep, and like I said, a lot of them, many of them that do it, they're not even here legally, but they work from sun up to sundown, getting their money together, pooling their resources, and by the time they are legal, they're set. They already have their money stashed. We are spending our money on stupid stuff. We have to stop.
$200
sneakers. We have to stop. That don't even make sense. And
you know,
it's funny that, you know, they showed a picture of Michael Jordan the other day. He ain't even have on no Jordans.
He have on his own sneakers, but he have sandals.
I said, y'all so simple. Y'all running out here standing in line, spending $200 on a pair of sneakers, and that man is not, he don't even have on Jordans right now. What is going on? What's going on? Why do we have to look rich and live poor?
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
That it doesn't make sense. These names mean nothing. They mean nothing if we're starving and dying. When in the world are we going to? I mean, I shouldn't say that because we are waking up. We are waking up. We're understanding
each other.
We are. We are. Absolutely,
we are.
It's slow, and like I said, if it comes too fast and too easy, it's probably going to go wrong. But the thing about it is we are listening to each other. We're taking each other's opinions with a little bit more respect. I'm not going to say we all are disrespectful to each other, but we still have a lot of work to do. We have so much. And the time is now. We don't have time to sit here and wait and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to. Today is one day. We're dying.
That's right.
Hey, you know what?
You know what? This is what I always do. You know, like, I've been doing this for years, though. Look, when I look myself in the mirror in the morning, I always say to myself, or lay at night, you know, what have you done or what are you going to do to help your brothers and sisters out today?
I said, you know me, you know, I sit down every day and I talk to my clients, my customers, I call them my family, about making sure that their family is set, to make sure that they're breaking financial curses, making sure that they have life insurance, making sure they started maybe a 401k to prepare themselves for retirement. I have these conversations every single day because that's my contribution on top of the, like I said, snatching up somebody's child and telling them right from wrong. I do everything that I can do every day to show them they have a reason to be proud. I don't care if they're 5 or 105. The 105, oh, yeah, utmost respect. I'm shutting up. I'm not talking about anything. I'm just going to listen. We have to learn to listen and show appreciation for the things that we have and what we're going to have. If we could just get it together and just, shut them down, we will be fine. But we have to take action. We have to. We have to start investing in ourselves. Invest in yourself personally first, and then educate, show somebody. Stop being afraid to show somebody else how to get it.
Yeah, right.
Stop being afraid to show somebody else how they can be amazing and how they can be great too. We have to do it all together. We can't be selfish with it anymore. It's not about me. It's about us, or we're going to die. I mean, no disrespect to anybody that, you know, are in interracial relationships, but our black babies aren't even being born anymore. You know what I mean? We're not producing, and they're killing. So we're the happy medium. We have to fix our existence. We're here. We're not going anywhere. We already know that. So I don't know, family. I don't know, but we have to get it together. We have to understand our greatness. That's all. I'm going to keep saying it. I tell somebody every single, you're great. Tell somebody, my goal every day is to make sure at least 3 people smile and feel better than they did before they had a conversation with me. If I do 30, that's great, but my personal goal is at least 3 every day. Make somebody
smile. What is there to smile about?
Did you wake up?
Yeah, but I'm talking about looking at the conditions and looking at our status in the society and the issues that we have to address, not on a monthly basis, not on a tri-monthly basis, but on a daily basis.
It's enough to break you. We don't have time to break, though. We don't have time to break. If we break and go silent and just allow that to be, how does that make sense? That's not intelligent. We have to fix it. We have to change it. You know, and not in the same way that is happening in D.C.
You got somebody that want to ask you a question. You got somebody that want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Good evening. You're on Black Earth America, 727-481.
Yeah, Jay Henson. You don't recognize my number?
Oh, how you doing, Jay? How's everything? No, I haven't seen your number in 6 or 7 months. And you probably was out of the country, you know.
I want to go. I need a day off. Can we go come back on my show? Yeah, I am. You know, something happened to my messenger for a minute. I accepted somebody, and it just went crazy. So it's all back in full effect now.
I'm talking to two powerful sisters, man. Oh, wow.
Hey, family.
How are you, sis? How are you?
I am beautiful. How are you?
Good. I was just, you know, I've been listening for the past. I was someplace else, but I was listening, and I said, I got to call into my brothers and sisters. I just want to thank you both for doing what you do, and that's part of the solution for all of the ills that we have. You know, we just have to constantly remember to be positive and to be the example and to trudge through all of this. And, you know, like you mentioned a little earlier, no one could do everything, but we could all do something. And so whatever it is, we just have to do our positive part, and then, you know, continue to look for circles of influence that are similar to you and build that strength and come together and keep that positive environment. Because I work with these children every day, and every day, you know, you talked about some of the Common Core niceties and, you know, the things of manners, the things that we grew up with, they don't possess. Their parents don't possess them.
Exactly.
And so we have to teach them to say hello, to say thank you, to not walk past an adult and not speak, and to not, you know, we'll be having a conversation. They just blurt out what they want in the middle, you know, walk up to you and say, hey, so-and-so. I'm like, whoa. And I mean, you have to take it there on a daily basis. But you know what? If that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. We have to teach them to garden. We have to teach them to dance. We have to teach them to sing. We have to give them, we have to acculturate them. We have to teach them about their history. We have to teach their parents. And you know what? That's our mission. And we just have to continue. And everybody that's doing it, because that's the only way you're going to be able to make a difference and bring about a change, because the evil forces that are out here are in full effect. We're being attacked every second. And so, but you know, we could be knowledgeable of it, aware of it. You know, I was just talking to my brother who was talking about how, you know, they used to run numbers and make money in the community, and they took that away and did the lottery. And you know, when they used to have the alcohol, and they took that away and made liquor stores.
Absolutely.
And so now they taking the weed away, and they said, okay, we're going to legalize it, but we only sell it out of our pharmaceutical dispensary so we can become billionaires from that. No, the average person will not be profiting from that, you know.
Right.
And if you did, we taking that resource away from you, you know. So, but that evil element has always been there. It's always going to be there. And we just have to keep doing what we know is the right thing and keep advocating.
Exactly. Yep.
And you brought it out too. You said, you know, we have to support each other. You know, we have to come together on a common accord. And right now, you know, we used to talk a long time ago about the extinction of the black man. We really see it.
And it's happening.
It is a plan that is in effect all around the world. And, I mean, you can see now the police are beating up people in Switzerland and France and, you know, all these other countries where, you know, there was a time when at least it was cordial. I mean, African-Americans would leave here to go there where there was more civility. But, you know, they're jumping on the bandwagon too. But at the same time, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the supreme creator is going to take care of all of that. Every knee will bend, every hip will bow. And all of that evil stuff and those people will be gone.
Yeah. I said that the other day. I said, I guess all the other countries and other continents, period, are looking to say, okay, well, in America, they're getting away with it, so why don't we try it?
Yeah.
That's what they're just killing us. They're killing us off.
My brother was taking a course, Corsica. He was taking an international online course that was being given by many of these universities, and he said that there was a topic, and they were talking about the population around the world, and they predicted by 2020, they were showing the numbers, and they was talking about how in Africa the population was going to proliferate, and, you know, basically around the world. I remember 20 years ago, they were saying in 2020 that the brown and black populations was going to be, you know, dominating the world.
He said when they were
online, people were responding to the statistical data, and the first thing they said, how do we stop this? How do we stop the proliferation of the black and brown people? He said right on the course, and everybody was panicking about it. And so, you know,
They've been trying to stop us for centuries.
Right. Exactly.
We're stopping ourselves. Again, our black babies aren't being born anymore.
Right.
They're not. You know, people can say what they want to say. That's my opinion. Black babies aren't being born. And the ones that are here, they aren't being taught who they are. They're being taught that slavery, that's where it starts. That's what they're being taught.
Exactly. Well,
and that's unacceptable.
I teach cultural dance and African dance and folklore in all of my programs.
And where? What state?
In Florida.
Okay.
But I'm originally from New Jersey. I'm originally from Newark.
I'm a Jersey girl.
I've been down here for 25 years. So I've been down here 25 years, and it is something that, you know, it is compensatory because it was something that was intentionally, knowledge that was intentionally taken away. So we have a responsibility to put it back into the lives of the children so they have an understanding of what their responsibility is. And I said, when you know who you are, you won't stand on the corner and sell drugs. You won't be you know, up and down, you know, for people throwing dollars and bands and all that. You won't say the kind of music and say the degrading things that they say in the music nowadays. There's just things you won't allow to happen and be a part of when you have knowledge of yourself.
Yes, ma'am. Tell them again. That's the thing. You won't have time to let anybody tell you who you are.
Right.
That has to stop. You have to stop believing what they say. I touched on it earlier. They really want black women to believe that we're enemies to each other. We started believing that. Absolutely not. That is not true. That's not true.
Yeah.
We're holding it together. We've been holding together the family since they were snatching our husbands and our men from us, and we were still in the fields. Please.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We've been holding it down, so we can't continue to let them make us believe we're enemies. We're not. We're starting to wake up and understand. All these people trying to play some trickery, and it's not happening anymore. So, but the time is now. We don't have time to continue to play these games and wish and hope and. It's over. Things are real. Look at what is happening in Washington.
Sorry.
We can go back. So another thing I wanted to touch on, and I'm getting ready to piss somebody off, I'm sure. Mr. Steve Harvey.
What's wrong with Steve Harvey?
What's
wrong with Steve Harvey?
What he said to her. Our family in Flint, Michigan. That poor, precious, bald-headed man.
What did he say?
I could not. What? He let a caller call in, and I guess he didn't like what he was saying. And I posted it, where he was like, Flint, Michigan, enjoy a tall glass of brown water, something like that. Like it was funny, but They're poisoning our babies, and that's how you attack somebody.
They were talking about basketball back and forth, making comments, and you know how, you know, conversations get. But you know, you have to have a level of integrity and moral standard and ethics about yourself.
Oh,
I don't care if you're a comedian, if you're whatever it is, but you know, and especially as a public figure, you know, there's some lines you don't cross. Some things just are not funny, and that you know. He's done a lot of philanthropic things for people and, you know, different things. And I can't speak on him too much because I don't know him. You know, I've just listened to him over the years, and I've seen the positive. I've seen mostly positive things. I know that sometimes he says some things that I don't think is funny, but and that was one of the things that I crossed the line on.
That was a line crosser for me. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. At first I was like, no, he couldn't have said that. He couldn't have made such a situation that, because at this point, that's another situation that we did our post, we gave our $5, we gave water and everything, and we really, people in other parts of the country, we think that situation is fixed. Their water is fixed.
The other thing too is a lot of people outside of the African American community, a lot of people have bought into a story that they're going to be saved and the rest of us are not going to be saved. And they've been duped because, you know, just like you mentioned before, when you talk about taking away welfare and Medicaid and checks and food stamps and that, we're not the majority of that.
Half of them are all welfare. Have 48% of the welfare rolls away.
They thought that they was hurting. You know, Benjamin Hooks, a long time ago, he was one of the NAACP, he made a comment. He said, the thing that people fail to realize is that we all in the same boat. And if you put a hole in my boat for me to sink, guess what? Eventually you will
sink
too.
That
is where we are now, and they are thinking, yeah, we're going to vote for him because he's going to turn everything the way it used to be, and they're going to find that that it's a farce, and they are part of they're part of the problem too. They're part of the plan. They're going to see themselves going down. But you know, I mean, African American communities, a lot of stuff that's going on. I mean, we've been suffering and being oppressed and dealing with this and being discriminated against since we've been here. So when we see it, you know, they get, you know, up in arms about different things, and we're like, oh, well, we're used to that. It happens to us all the time.
Yes.
So, you know, you're going to see, you know, just like with the Flint, Michigan, it's not just African-Americans that are suffering from the water in New Orleans. It's not just those people that still, you know, in a quagmire situation from Katrina.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, it's people. And, you know, you know, we all have to. That's another reason why it's so important to be positive and work together. And you know, in the community that we're in, I work with the Mexican community all the time. I reached out to them. I said, hey, we're brothers and sisters. Let's work together. Let's do this together. And we've been doing some wonderful things together down here and, you know, pulling all of the communities together. Because it's not about, you know, color. Some of it's about color, but a lot of it is also that we're getting ready to go through an economical class issue too. The poor people's campaign
class struggle.
We're all in it, and we know it, and a lot of them don't know it, but they're about to find out that they've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, and swindled, thinking that we're gonna be the ones that's going down and the boat going down with everybody.
And then, like I said, because we're getting to a point where we're getting to a point where we're like, your opinion really doesn't matter. And the bigger the group of us get to that point where your opinion doesn't matter, if my children, are okay with it, if my family is okay with it, because I have a family right now that will check. If I'm almost 50, and my family will check me if it's out of pocket. No, that's not how you're going to live your life. But we don't have that as much as we used to. We have to.
I look at Facebook every day to a lot of kids and it's a lot of people. It's their biggest nightmare. I'll get on Facebook. I say, excuse me, put some clothes on. You need to take that post down right there. Because you represent me. If you are part of my organization, you are part of what we're doing, you are part of what we espouse, you represent us, and you got to know that at all times, that wherever you are. When I'm home, I tell them, I say, I care about what you guys think. So when I go out, I can get myself accordingly. Because I don't want somebody to come back to you and say, oh, we see Mama J, she is rotten. No, you'll never hear that. Because I have respect for myself and respect for you, too. And so you have to. So, I mean, right now I'm employing about 25 of the kids that I've raised and trained since they was 5 and 6, 7 years old. And so we do our each one teach one. And so I teach them to do the same thing, reach back and make an opportunity for somebody else. Because we got to stop looking for jobs. We have to start creating our own opportunities, like everybody else.
True.
My daughter's watch what I do.
It's only like 2 minutes and 51 seconds left, and when 9 o'clock comes, it completely shuts down. So, I thank you for coming on to the show. I look forward to next month, Jay. You gotta come back on the show, man. Come back on the show next month if you can, if you're in the country or not. So I think you go out the country about August, September. You know, so it'd be July. You know. So I just want to thank everybody for participating and providing some solutions. For saving our communities and telling our folks that our communities and our families are worth being saved and we cannot be scared about it. And maybe if we have control of our own finances and economics, we could address our social ills. Now, we got a minute left. And I just, Jay, I'm going to be giving you a call. And I said, you're not going to be calling you.
And we got to save ourselves. We have to save ourselves.
Y'all plan on coming down to Florida in December when it's nice and sunny and hang out with us for our show.
Yeah, December. Yeah, I'm going to get down there if I can get a break.
All
right.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
All right, family. Good night.
Good night. And remember, folks, as always, I am because we are. We are because I am. See ya.